Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Indeed, today is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Joining me now, Nicole Phillips. You can find her at NicoleJPhillips.com. She brings to us a kindness story each week. Good morning, Nicole. What do you have for us today?
Good morning, Carmen. Hey, I was standing on holy ground yesterday, and I almost missed it. Do you ever have those times when you just almost miss something that's so beautiful in your life?
I love that you're not letting us miss it.
Oh, thanks. Well, that's my goal in life. That's the goal. So I was driving down a busy street here in our new town of Aberdeen, South Dakota. We moved here about a month ago. And I noticed a 7-year-old girl on the side of the road, walking on the sidewalk, struggling so hard with these big bags of groceries. And behind her was her grandmother, who was also struggling. I mean, these two people, I mean, I could see them as I was driving down the road, and I thought, oh, man, they are in trouble. And so, of course, you know, God says to me, pull over, help them, give them a ride. And then this is where I got in my own way, because I thought, I can't, they're going to think I'm crazy. You know, I'm kind of in a rush. Like, what if they need a lot from me? I have a 70-pound golden doodle in the car. It's going to scare them. And I just came up immediately with reason after reason after reason why I couldn't help. And I knew that if I didn't stop, I would think about them for the rest of the day. And so I pulled over to a parking lot and I walked to them on the sidewalk and I said, hey, do you need a ride? And before the words were out of my mouth, the grandmother said, oh, yes, please. We live at 8th and 1st. And so we loaded them up into the back of the car with the groceries. And then they hopped in, and the little girl was delighted to be sitting next to my 70-pound golden doodle. She thought that was great. And I found out that the grandmother moved here a week ago, and they were shopping at the Salvation Army thrift store, and they're sleeping on air mattresses, and she's trying to create a new life here. And it reminded me that God does speak to us, and he does put us where we need to be in that moment, and that we are the ones who are blessed by that. But sometimes we get in our own way and we outthink God. So I just encourage everyone to just be open to that today. What's he saying to you? What's he prompting you to do? And you have the choice to say no, but you will be blessed if you say yes.
Amen. Okay, so I'm not sure if somebody maybe in our, I don't suspect our Sioux Falls listening area reaches all the way to Aberdeen. But those of you, oh, Fargo. Thank you, Paul. Paul says that the Fargo signal reaches Aberdeen. So those of you mm-hmm. who are listening today on AM 1200 or FM 102.5 in the Fargo-Moorhead listening area, Nicole Phillips and her family now live in your listening area, and she has met some others who have recently moved to your listening area. So let's be sure that we're reaching out to those who are new in our neighborhoods, those who we might hear on the radio and be famous like Nicole, or those who are completely obscure, right? And people who are trying to just make a new life in a new place. And let's be welcoming to our new neighbors. Thank you, Nicole Phillips, for this great, wonderful kindness reminder today. Folks can find Nicole at NicoleJPhillips.com. We'll be right back. So I'm thrilled to be joined now by Karen Swallow Pryor. She is a professor at Liberty University. She is also an author, and today is a book launch day, which if you're an author or an editor, book launch day is a really fun day. It's the day that everybody around the world has access to that which you have been shepherding and writing and editing and birthing through a long process. So, Karen, welcome to Mornings with Carmen. Share with us about cultural engagement.
Thank you so much, Carmen. I actually had a little trouble sleeping last night, knowing this morning was book launch day. So cultural engagement is captured best by the subtitle, A Crash Course in Contemporary Issues. It is technically a textbook written by professors for students in the classroom, but it's written in such a way that we just think any regular layperson reader who's interested in engaging the culture as a Christian, but more importantly, biblically, will benefit from reading this book.
So when you use the word crash course, one of the things I like about that is sometimes when we even begin to think about engaging the culture, particularly on hot topic issues, we feel like we're going to crash. And so the language of crash course, you know, conjures up images not only of something that's going to be fairly fast paced, where I'm going to be able to cover a lot of material in a fairly short period of time. It also keeps me mindful that this is there's a bit of a danger zone that we're entering into here. I would love for you to talk about the way the book is structured, because I think one of the surprises that's in here is that there are voices included in this conversation who are often, for those of us who are evangelical, there are people who identify as Christians, but whom we silo off or outside of the conversation on a subject. And the same is true in reverse. Liberal or progressive Christians often do not listen to the voices of conservative or evangelical Christians. You guys have actually bridged that gap.
Exactly. I mean, these are such polarized times, not only within the culture, but within the church. And what we basically want to do here, and think we've succeeded in doing, is to offer kind of a survey of the current landscape on 9 controversial, pressing, important issues the church is facing today. And so we wanted to include views that not necessarily that we agree with or that we think are biblical or orthodox, but the ones that are out there now being promoted by people who profess to be Christians, and that people like our students and ourselves and anyone out there will go on the internet. I mean, we just go out there and we see view A and then an opposing view and then somewhere in the middle. Well, how do we navigate all those different perspectives by people who claim to be Christians? So we set up the book to present that landscape on these issues. We introduce each section by giving kind of a historical survey of how we landed where we are today on that issue, and follow everything with discussion questions designed to help readers really think critically and biblically about each essay and each topic.
So there are a number of books out on the topic of maybe culture engagement or on particular issues. So I want to I just want to be sure that folks get a sense of what's covered in Cultural Engagement, A Crash Course in Contemporary Issues, which is available today, just released today. The 9 contemporary issues covered are sexuality, gender roles, human life and reproductive technology, immigration and race, creation and creature care, politics, work, art or arts, and war, weapons, and capital punishment. Karen, that is that's quite a list, and I would say that it does cover the subject matter for which Christians need to be equipped in order that we can engage in the cultural conversations of the day in ways that honor Jesus. I know that's your heart, that last part of it, right? It's not that I'm just going to go out there ready to hammer people with the truth. I am going to do so in a way that honors Jesus. I am going to do so as a grace-filled person who is seeking to help other people see and experience the kingdom of God and his principles and his priorities and how those should be reflected here in our life together on earth now. That makes this book different, I think, than other books on the same subject.
That's absolutely right. I mean, we don't even just dive in on these topics. We devote a good, 60 or 70 pages in the beginning with a few chapters that talk about the different models historically of cultural engagement, help readers think about how the way that they engage culture in their traditions is not necessarily the only way there, and we need to be thoughtful. and intentional about how we do that. And also my own sort of personal favorite contribution. I co-edited this with my colleague, Josh Shatrow. It was a team effort, but we each had our little parts we contributed. And mine is the chapter on engaging culture virtuously. The virtues have been, you know, a recent fascination and research interest of mine. And it's not just what we think about these issues as Christians, but it's also how we arrive at that position and then how we apply and communicate it in the world. And we must do that in a Christ-like way.
So we will let's dig around in one of them when we come back from the break. I am talking with Karen Swallow Pryor. She is a professor at Liberty University. She and her colleague, Josh Shatrow, are the co-editors of a book just released today, Cultural Engagement, a Crash Course in Contemporary Issues. We'll be right back. Continuing my conversation with Karen Swallow Pryor from Liberty University, she is the co-editor of a book just released today, Cultural Engagement, a Crash Course in Contemporary Issues. If you are a Christian and you want to be, you want to not only be informed about the panorama of viewpoints on a particular subject that might be before us in the culture today, but you actually want to be equipped to discern among that panorama or, it feels like a buffet of viewpoints that are all presented as Christian. If you want to be equipped to discern which one of those is true and which are not, this is the book for you. So Cultural Engagement, a Crash Course in Contemporary Issues. Karen, I'm wondering if you'll just take us into one of these and give us an example of what people will find in the book.
Well, of course, I don't think you could talk about contemporary issues in the church without talking about sexuality. And that is the first topic that we approach. And we have actually 9 different essays on the topic of sexuality, whether it's same-sex relationships or gender dysphoria. We actually have put in the book some of the most conservative and knowledgeable voices on Orthodox sexuality, Robert Gagnon, who is a New Testament scholar, and Rosaria Butterfield, who is a well-known former lesbian who's a real advocate for the biblical sexual ethic today. And we included Matthew Vines, who is a young evangelical Christian who is himself gay and makes the argument that that is biblical. That's a view that Josh and I don't agree with, but we know that his view is becoming increasingly popular among evangelicals, and particularly younger ones, the college-age students we're trying to reach. And so, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, what we're doing is we're putting all these people together, because most of the time we go out on the internet, we look for either the views that we agree with already to reinforce us, or, you know, we read things that we hate just to denounce them without really trying to understand them and figure out why we think they're wrong. Putting up these views side by side helps us to really understand the merits of each one when it's held up against the Bible.
So that is a fresh approach, and I think it is really beneficial. It also, you know, one of the things that I feel like that you guys have done, and this may not have even been a conscious effort, I feel like I don't now have to go and spend money and put money in the pocket of somebody with whom I disagree, even though I want to understand what they're saying. So that may be.
I honestly had not even thought of that. Thank you, Carmen. That's a great point.
Like, that for me is like, I want to understand what other people are saying. I want to hear their perspective, but I frankly don't want to put money in their pocket in relationship to it. So I appreciate that you've aggregated so many voices in one place where I can really, I can understand what others are saying. I can hopefully understand their perspective, because I am interested in then bringing, you know, light and truth to bear in those conversations. And I know you are as well. One of the things that listeners of this program will recognize about your name is that you've been on our prayer list personally. So because after you were literally hit by a bus in Nashville, we prayed for you here on air. And so I would really appreciate if you'll just let people know. I mean, obviously you're well, But maybe just give a testimony and witness to the redemptive and restorative power of God in your life.
Oh, sure. Thank you for asking. And thank you so much for those prayers. I have never felt the presence of God and God's people more in my life than that time of being hit by a bus in the aftermath. I say that in all sincerity. I am, I am doing amazingly well. I can do everything that I was doing before. I just experienced some residual intermittent pain where I had a pelvic screw put in. I had multiple fractures and breaks all over, and that was the worst one. But life is back to normal. I have a little bit of a changed perspective and just such a greater love for God and his sovereignty and the way that the church has ministered to me. So thank you for those prayers. God heard everyone and I felt everyone.
Well, and I'm wondering if in your experience, like as a patient who had to be patient, is that part of where your, maybe awakened interest in the virtues maybe is stimulated? Because patience is a virtue, am I right?
It absolutely is. The funny thing is that I had just turned in the final edits on the manuscript for my last book. We were still in the middle of this one when it got delayed. But for my last book is about great books and the virtues. And I had just spent a couple of years immersed in research and writing about the virtues, including a whole chapter on patience. And I never imagined that I would actually have to be tested in the sense of, do I really believe what I've just written about these virtues, particularly patience? And it was a source of strength for me to draw on, because I understood in my head what virtues were, and then I really had the opportunity to practice them. And it was life-changing.
Well, Karen, we appreciate what you're doing every day to educate the next generation, and frankly, this generation as well. We all need professors like you who continue to speak truth into our lives and help us continue to grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. This process of discipleship and lifelong learning never ends, and we each need to be equipped afresh every single day for the challenges that the culture presents. And how we bring the unchanging truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to bear in each and every one of those conversations. So thank you for helping us do that with beauty and integrity and grace. And we'll continue praying for you as God continues to send you out there to engage the culture. The book is Cultural Engagement, a Crash Course in Contemporary Issues. You can follow Karen online at, I think it's KS Pryor, am I right, on Twitter?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. At KS Pryor. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen, and we'll be right back. Okay, so we are going to now seek to apply the conversation we just had with Karen Swallow Pryor to real life issues happening in the culture today. And so we're going to continue this cultural engagement conversation, this crash course in contemporary issues, and I'm going to do so in conversation with Peter Kapsner. He and I are going to talk about New York City schools and their new gender inclusive guidelines. We're going to talk about Oreos and Starbucks and whether or not your pets are people too. That's up next here as we seek to shed light on 50 Shades of Truth. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. So if you are looking for an opportunity to engage in this third quarter in the scriptures, if when I ask the question, where in the word are you, and you don't really have an answer because you don't have a Bible study that you're engaged in, we've got a free online course. You can sign up as late as tomorrow, but why not sign up today? Go to myfaithradio.com. It's a free online course, Navigating Grief with Humor. It's a free course that takes a look at the ways that humor can help in the grief process, as you are going through a process of grief or walking with someone else through the process of grief. This is an opportunity for you to laugh and actually find the appropriate place of humor in the midst of all of it. So go to myfaithradio.com today for our free online course, Navigating Grief with Humor. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be nice if all the problems you have with your kids would disappear at the snap of a finger? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's no quick fix to family problems. Instead, I'll suggest a plan of action to making gradual but effective changes in your home. First, identify the problem areas. What exactly do you wish were different? Second, communicate the change. Make sure everyone at home knows what needs to change and how they're going to get there. And finally, implement the plan. Your course of action may at first cause pain, discomfort, or uneasiness, but don't give up. On the other side of these challenges, you'll find deeper relationships and healthier people.
Looking for more parenting wisdom? Go online to ParentingTodaysTeens.org or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
So joining me now, Dr. Peter Kapsner. He and I like to get together. We like to talk about something we call 50 Shades of Truth, helping to shed the light of the gospel on all of the conversations that are happening in the culture today. So we take the thorny issues, we take the things that people are talking about in the headline news, and we seek to bring the Christian worldview or the gospel worldview to bear. So Peter, hello, my friend.
Hello, Carmen. Welcome back. You have a good vacation?
I did. Thank you for covering for me. I greatly, genuinely appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. It's fun to be with your guests and with your listeners. It's a great show, Carmen. I appreciate all of what you do.
Well, thank you for not doing it better than I do. Oh, that's not the right way to say that. That's not right. That's so not right. Okay, so let's talk about New York City, because New York City has, frankly, one of the failing school systems in the country. New York City schools rank among the worst in terms of performance when compared with other schools across the nation. You're an educator. I want to tell people what's going on in New York City, and that they are elevating the concerns of a very small group of students who identify as a gender other than their biological gender. And these students are now being basically given every kind of preferential treatment, not only in school, but in terms of the expectations placed upon educators and administrators in these gender-inclusive guidelines for New York City schools. The chancellor has now updated these, and they're making a big public splash in the media. Students can now show up and declare themselves to be either gender or non-gender, non-binary, and they can do so without any sort of legal documentation. From an educator's perspective, what could go wrong here?
I know. Carmen, you and I chat about these kinds of things pretty regularly, and is thinking about just some different angles or takes that seem to be emerging from this particular story, where, like you said, families can, as they enroll their students, they can self-report what their student's gender may be that could be divergent from their birth certificates. And in thinking about it, I had an education degree. My wife's been in the school systems. I was in the school systems. I have many family members that are in school systems, and just know a lot of teachers. And, you know, without overgeneralizing, what I can say is teachers tend to care about what's going on with their kids and in the classroom, and they tend to care about the topics and teaching math and reading and sciences and all of the different things that are part of a normal educational curriculum. Again, a lot of teachers have passions for the well-being of children. They don't necessarily have the same passions, it seems, oftentimes as maybe the advocacy that exists at the administration level, where a lot of people who are removed from the classroom end up in sort of ideas and ideologies, and they foist it upon the teachers, and they create policies that then the teachers have to enact with. And to your point, this particular policy seems to be developed by a bunch of political people or potentially some school administrators who care much more about advocacy than they do about thinking through what's really healthy in the classroom. And so you're allegedly creating a safe space for kids by being able to allow them to self-report their genders. And I suppose I understand that on some level, given the shape of things today. But what you are doing is you're putting teachers in really awkward and difficult positions and expecting them to sort out all of the psychological and social dynamics. You're putting families in really difficult situations because they don't have a say anymore in terms of what their kids are exposed to in the school systems. And I certainly have, without overly deriding school administration, because I know there's a lot of good ones as well, I know for certain, because I've been in the conversations behind the scenes, that there can be administrators that would say, we know what's better for kids way more than families do. So we're going to create the environments and families be quiet. We might offer you an opportunity for your kids not to have to engage in this particular educational setting, but we might not. And I know even as a homeschool family now, and we did it not because we were trying to get out of the school system. We did it because we had moved overseas and we're back in the States, and the kids had started school in a different way at a different age, and we didn't know what to do. And my wife, Hallie, was an educator. So we thought, well, let's just bring them home because we can't quite find the right environment. I'm not sure what choice I would make these days, now some 15 years later after that fact, because the school systems really have changed, and there really is increasingly a forced curriculum that families have less and less voice in terms of their engagement with it.
And no opt-out. Like, I think it's really right. important for parents to recognize that even if you think you have an opt-out, your kid does not have an opt-out. At school, this is the environment that they are in. These are requirements being placed upon educators and administrators. Your child does not have an opt-out. And so as your school district begins to follow the lead of some of these more progressive school districts, like in this case, we're talking about New York City, but we have talked earlier about the sex curriculum in the state of California. And right. So we are definitely talking about things that are headed from the coast toward middle America. There's not going to be any way to, I think, avoid it. Although I do think that parents who are concerned need to engage early and often with their local schools and with their school district. Like, now's the time to get engaged and involved if you've been a person on the sidelines of this particular conversation. Peter, let's transition to the church. The church should really be leading in these subjects. The church should be providing clarity, not contributing to the confusion in the culture related to gender, certainly not related to marriage. But the Church of England has said that it will now recognize marriages of transgender worshipers. If a person transitions from one gender to another, their marriage will still be valid in the Church of England. How does this create confusion? And maybe let's also go the positive direction. What is marriage in terms of God's design, and who by God's design participates in a marriage?
Yeah, well, it is a really interesting story, and it does actually connect to the story that we just were talking about, the school, that the church really has to have a clarity and a vision around what sexuality is, and be able to communicate that clarity and vision to families and to young people and to older generations, to kids across the board, so that, as you just said, for parents to get involved in schools. I mean, not all parents are going to homeschool their kids, and nor maybe should they or want to, but they need to be empowered somehow to then go become advocates for their kids in the school. Where are they going to get that empowerment? Well, they can and should get it from the vision and the clarity that the church is offering. And in this situation that you're describing in the Church of England, that historically has affirmed very clearly that marriage is an exclusive union for a male and a female. And now, with allowing for the idea that a marriage can remain if one of those partners changes their gender, so now you have a male and a male marriage, or a female and a female marriage. And they basically sort of threw up their hands from a policy standpoint and said, if that couple chooses that as part of the course of their marriage, we're going to allow that to stand. That, to me, is conflicting messages. And that's where we don't have the clarity and we don't have the vision. And sometimes I think, Carmen, we sacrifice a lot of that clarity and vision at the altar of wanting to be relevant and sound like the culture, so the culture will go ahead and continue to attend the church. And sometimes it's just hard, and sometimes it's just confusing. And, you know, I know a lot of parents that are really well-meaning parents, and they really desire what's best and really don't know which way to turn. There is an agenda, certainly, in advocacy in some circles, but for most of us, it's just sort of the soup that we don't know which way to turn, and we end up with all of these dissonant messages that don't actually makes sense. And so you and I have been chatting about it, and certainly in the places where I find myself involved in the church, it's mostly the same message. It's let's take a year, let's take two, let's take three, let's not worry so much about a 20-minute sermon with a YouTube video right now. Let's go ahead and really invest deeply and re-engage in this subject of sexuality so that there can be a comprehensive and helpful and equipping vision of sexuality for the future.
Well, and some of the folks out there in the culture who are helping us do this, Christians who are writing in this space and helping us understand these issues, I guess like the Restored Hope Network comes to mind, or I mean, we have a whole list. I mean, I've talked to a number of people on this topic and on this subject. And yet, like, Amazon is making it harder and harder for us to actually get access to their books, their materials.
Right.
Like, anybody who is writing in this space and speaking in this space who does not agree with the prevailing winds of the day and is not supportive of the LGBTQ plus agenda is increasingly sidelined and silenced. And so I do think we have to keep talking about it. We have to keep talking about the positive design of God. We have to be talking about God's holiness and his goodness and his grace. And we have to talk about male-female creation, and we have to talk about male-female marriage. We have to talk about the goodness of that and the purpose for it. All right, Peter Kapsner and I are going to continue this conversation, because when we come back, I bet you didn't even know that your Oreo had a preferred pronoun, but it does. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Okay, Peter Kapsner and I are continuing our conversation about what we call 50 Shades of Truth. This is what I would describe as the latest in corporate virtue signaling. And this is Nabisco. And again, I am not on anybody's side today in terms of corporate boycotts. I am going to Home Depot. I am going to Starbucks. I am probably eating Oreos. So this is that is not what this is about. This is about what I would describe as corporate virtue signaling. And so ask me pronouns. There are Oreos now printed. The Oreo itself says, ask me my pronouns. And so for people who have not been in an environment where they have been asked to introduce themselves in this way, I will give you an example that I experienced in a workshop where we were encouraged to introduce ourselves in this way. So my introduction would in this case be, hi, my name is Carmen. I identify as a cisgender woman, and my preferred pronouns are female. So what does that lead you to believe that when I would be sharing my pronouns with you via an Oreo, what would I expect you to then call me, Peter?
Well, boy, I don't know, Carmen. I mean, it's confusing enough, right? I think there's 140 different ways in which a person can identify themselves. And that's not an exaggeration. If you go onto Facebook, you can, I mean, that's why it is LGBTQ. And then they add a couple more. And then the plus at the end is because there's so many different options. And I have to say, just on a real personal note, that I couldn't be more disappointed, because Oreo was the cookie of my youth. And it was double stuff all the way cold, five at a time with a glass of 2% milk, that that my dad and I, we had our nightly ritual and literally had the Oreo police each night, that if you were caught with a sixth Oreo, you were banned for the next day from Oreos. And so this has been my favorite cookie for almost an entire lifetime. And seeing what they've done, as you said, it really was a corporate virtual signaling, in the sense that they didn't offer these on the shelves of Walmart or Target or any kind of grocery store. They offer them for free as part of the Pride Parade. And there a couple angles on the story, I suppose. One is just that, how businesses, you may think they are for you and your social issue, but most businesses, there might be an element of that, but most businesses can count the bottom line better than anybody. And they know that if they enact X policy as a business, then it's likely to add Y to the bottom line. And so there's a lot of math that goes on in terms of the decision making that businesses get into. I'm with you, corporate boycotting. Sure, but boy, it's really difficult to find a business that you would say is entirely consistent with God's kingdom. And so to boycott everything, I'm not sure about that piece of it. But I think the last piece that was really interesting, and it goes back to what you were saying in the previous segment around search engines and Google and Amazon, really sort of sifting through what information they are willing to offer to the public. And I don't want to be an over-alarmist in the situation. I don't tend towards alarmism. The news drives me nuts because it usually stays on the fringes of what's actually happening. But in this particular case, in my business, we sell a lot of product through the internet, and we have to have a search engine optimization specialist on our staff who is looking into sort of the algorithms of Google all day long to figure out how we can say things in a sentence or a phrase that will get us on the first page, because Google really does filter according to what you put in, and they will filter things if they don't necessarily agree with it from a policy standpoint. And that happened in this Oreo page. If you go onto Oreo's feed, you can't find negative responses to what they've done unless you want to scroll way, way, way down. And even then, a lot of them have been deleted. And Carmen, I know having a corporate business page, we can go ahead and decide what comments show up on our feed versus not, and we can delete the ones that we don't like. And sometimes I will engage in some maybe news publications and just sort of have a comment that I tried to be real fair, even-handed with, to be balanced with. And it won't get posted very often simply because it would even have a hint of a suggestion of an alternative way of thinking that isn't meant to be all crazy or voracious towards the readers. It really is just meant to be a balanced conversation, and even that doesn't get posted. So there's a lot going on here. And again, I don't tend towards alarmism, but I also don't want us to be naive and think that businesses are just simply out there for the corporate good. There's a lot of public perception shaping that is going on all day long. Maybe one last quick story. I knew a person who worked for Target in their psychology division, and they knew how to position products on the end cap at Target in such a way that would create sort of this almost Pavlovian response that you would be more likely to buy the product simply in the way it was positioned. So they had psychologists on staff that were into branding and marketing and product creation that would try to override your own judgment so that you'd purchase their product. So I think we do have to be mindful. Honestly, this could be another thing that the church ends up talking about in terms of equipping people to be thoughtful Christians in our world.
Okay, so now, of course, you have me thinking about farm implements and things that I could attach to my tractor, because that's your
farm,
company,
yes.
Right? So, right. So, so maybe this is completely like off subject, but maybe you and I at some point should talk about whether or not what you're doing is impacted by, I mean, you know, we talk about business here when Bill Arnold does the afternoon show. Bill English comes on the show, and he and I talk about business and how it's affected by various things, and, right, you know, Christians who own businesses and how that affects things. So maybe you and I should till that soil sometime, because you have soil tilling stuff, I think.
We do have toil.
And winches. So, yeah, don't you have tilling winches? I got a kid who likes a good winch.
Yeah, Carmen, equip your entire farm with products. And then you just post them all over social media, and it's a win for the company, and I get to try to drive the consumer demand. See, this is all why it's so crazy, Carmen. It drives me absolutely nuts, all of it.
I love it. Okay, my friend, we did not get to Starbucks, nor the question of whether or not our pets are people too. So we're going to have to circle back around to those subjects at a later time, because I just love our conversations. Peter Kapsner, thank you so much.
Always great to be with you, Carmen.
My baloney has a first name. Does yours have a pronoun?
I'm going to try to find one.
There you go. All right. Thanks, man. Hey, we got to take one more quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, so I know that sometimes Peter and I make light of very serious subjects, and so please do not take offense to any of that. Let us be people who can bring humor to bear, even in the most complex and complicated of life situations. And so let me just remind you one more time today that if you go to myfaithradio.com today, you can sign up for this free online course, Navigating Grief with Humor. And just let me encourage you, if you're looking for a place and a way to grow, not only in your own spiritual walk, but in your ability to spiritually walk with others through grief, like through the valley of the shadow of death, then this is a good opportunity for you to engage. So go online to myfaithradio.com, sign up for the free online course, signups are like closed as of tomorrow. So like it's today or tomorrow. So go ahead and get her done. Get her done. All right. Thank you for being with me this morning. Thank you for engaging with me. You can always email me, Carmen@myfaithradio.com. I want to give a shout out this morning to a listener in the 319 area code who says on the text line that I am now officially on their prayer list. And so I know that as she's walking, she or he is walking their dog this morning, I'm being prayed for. Hey, let me know if you're praying for me. I am counting on that. I need it. Have a great day and God bless.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.